standing. You know, we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, right? We stand and salute that flag with honor and dignity because we're standing in the presence of patriotism. We are standing today in the presence of a holy God who's among us and who's with us and who's in us, who is right here in this room. See, church is supposed to be different. It's supposed to feel different. This is not a social club. It's not a comedy act. It is the house of the Lord. It is a sanctuary. And when we walk in those doors, we ought to feel that we have stepped across a portal into something unique and something special and something reverent and something sacred. There ought to be a change. For those that say, I don't like church because it makes me feel uncomfortable, well, the presence of God always makes us feel a little bit different, doesn't it? And it should make us feel different. I'm not just in front of man. I'm in front of the creator of all the universe. He was so holy, Moses had to take his shoes off. He was so holy, they said, I can't look upon his face, for I'll die if I see his face. Well, his face is here today, walking among us. We are in his presence. The bush is burning here right now. There is right now a moment happening in this sanctuary for the people of God who will say, yes, Lord, your presence is here, healing my heart, touching my mind, and renewing my hope again. And that's what this generation needs. And God provides that, everything that we need. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your presence. As the word comes forth, I pray you speak to our inward heart and touch us and bring out revelations, God, out of our ears that we will hear exactly what you want us to hear today. Lord, for the heavy hearts, for the broken hearts, for those that need renewed and those that need touched, you can do that because this is the day that can happen. This is the day, not tomorrow, not next Sunday, but this can be the day that our hearts are changed and our hope is renewed. And we thank you for that and give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Y'all can be seated. As you know, we changed our Sunday school format. So at this time, if there's any kids that are kindergarten and under, they are welcome to go back to a class. If you are in first grade or older, we ask you sit out here and be part of the worship with us. And we're excited about that. Hey, Hudson. Look at your neighbor and say, this day. You've only got one today. Think about that. How much time do we waste because we think we have another day? There are some folks that this will be the last day on earth for them. There are some that will die in the hospitals today. There are some that will die in prison today. There are some that will die in a car wreck today. There are some that will die at home with a disease or a sickness. There'll be suicides today. There'll be drug overdoses today. There'll be people that died of cancer today all across the world. There'll be thousands and thousands of deaths global today. This is the day. Look at what Psalms 118:24 says. Go to my verse, Brandon. This is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. We should have joy for every day we're here because every day the Lord has made. Every day that sun rises to greet us and every night it sets. We see the beauty of God's creation in every single day. And there's a day coming for you that it will be your day to get what you desire of God. The book, as Manly said many times, this Bible is a book of testimonies. It truly is. It's a book of what God has done and who God done them to and through and for. And so our life's a testimony every day. We are walking people, living people just like Moses and Joseph and Abraham and Isaac and David and Samson and Daniel. We are no different. We are the men and women of God of this generation. And every day we live, we are a testimony of what God has done, of who God is. Another day of protecting us. Another day of watching over us. This is the day, and why I have this day, I'm going to celebrate it. I'm going to put away all the stuff that God has not done, because sometimes we're bad about that. Let's just get real this morning. We're bad about what God's not done. You know, God's not done this. God's not fixed that. And, you know, God's not da, da, da. If we would concentrate on what God has done, God has woke us up. All of you in here, all of you, even little Von Seal with a little bit of assistance, but all of us walked in here by our own power today. There are people in the hospitals. There have been two or three this week. I've been in the hospital in and out all week, and I go by the. I went to the nursing home this week, too, to see Jazz and or to see, who did I go see? Yeah, Trudy. Thank you. I got so many people this week. Trudy. I went to see Trudy. And going down that nursing home at Maple Leaf this week, looking in those rooms, I told Melanie it looked like death in them rooms. People laying there, couldn't move, mouths wide open. I mean, it looked like just death in some of those rooms. You know what they would do to be able to get up this morning and come to church, get in a car and drive and walk in this sanctuary? And they're stuck in a bed. They can't move. They've had a stroke. They're paralyzed. They're too weak. They forgot how to walk. They forgot how to swallow. They can't eat. You know, they can't go to the bathroom on their own. They don't even know when they have to go to the bathroom. I mean, they're absolutely at death's door, some of them. This is the day that you are not in a nursing home. Can I get an amen on that? This is the day you're not locked up in jail. This is the day you're not in a hospital. This is the day you're not in ICU. This is the day you're not laying on the road in a wreck right now. This is the day that you've got your family. This is the day that you've got your house. This is the day that you've got your car. This is the day that you've got your health. This is the day that you've got everything. God is prayer. This is a day you have those things. This is the day. So I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad. I know tomorrow for our students, they start back the bad S word, right? They start that back tomorrow. And by the way, we're going to say our children's prayer before we leave like we always do every year over all our kids. I know some of you done started, but we'll pray for you too. It's not too late to get in the prayer. We'll catch you up. But we start the big S day tomorrow, school, right? Our kids go back, and they don't want to go back to school, a lot of them. Some of them do, some of them don't. You got to go back to work tomorrow. It's Monday for those of you at work. Some of you are retired. Some of you, you know, have to go to work, and you think, you know, but Monday morning has got a bad rap, doesn't it? You know, nobody likes Monday morning. That's the start of the long grind. But Monday morning is also the day the Lord hath made. And so I'm going to rejoice on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day of the week because God has made it. Now, my whole point of this message this morning is that there's a this day for you. Because all these people we're going to read about, I've got some scriptures we're going to read. And these people I'm going to talk about, it was that this day happened for them. There's a this day for you for your healing. There's a this day for you for your deliverance. There's a this day for you for your breakthrough. There's a this day coming your way. You just keep moving forward and wait on that day to come because it will come. Remember when God promised Abraham and Sarah a baby? She was old, way old. He was 100 and she was 99 or 90 years old, way past, couldn't bear no kids. Yep. Yes. The angel appeared to them and says, you're going to have a child from your own seed, Isaac. They had to wait 25 years. Their day didn't come that day. But their this day did come 25 years later. Joseph was in prison for 2 years before he got pulled out. 2 years he sat there in prison. He was actually innocent. He truly was innocent. He wasn't jailhouse. He was innocent. He had done no wrong. He'd been falsely accused. And here he was. Think about how Joseph felt. God, I walked with integrity. I turned down this woman trying to sleep with me. I ran away from her, and she framed me, and she blackmailed me, and she falsely accused me, and I was honoring you, God, and now I'm in prison for 2 years. But his this day came one day, and he got pulled out of that dungeon, out of that prison, and was promoted to second in command over all of Egypt. Your this day is on the way. The children of Israel were slaves for over 400 years, and they cried generation after generation, century after century. They cried wanting their deliverance, and then one day their this day showed up. One day God spoke to Moses, who was a fugitive away from the law, who had murdered someone and was hiding really in the desert and took a whole new life. And he called Moses from a burning bush and says, you're going to be the one to go back to Pharaoh and bring my people out. Who, me? No, not me. Yes, you, Moses. It is time. I've heard their cry. It's coming for my ears. And this is the day that you are going to go back and begin a revolution and start something brand new and bring my people out. Your this day is coming. It may not happen tomorrow or next week or next month, but I promise you, as you follow God and trust him, there's a day coming where this day is going to become the day in your life. Let's get some scriptures. Exodus 14:13. Moses said to the people, this is where they were trapped between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army. Do not be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you. Today, for the Egyptians who you see today, you will see again no more forever. There this day happened that day. Here's Pharaoh's army. Here's the Red Sea, and they're trapped. What have you done, Moses? You brought us out of Egypt, and now we're trapped, and we're going to die in the middle of this place. I'd rather we be back in Egypt, at least have a place to be buried. You're going to die here. Don't worry. God's doing something this day. Watch what God's got planned. God didn't call you out to fail you. He didn't call you out to drop you. He didn't call you out that he wouldn't complete what he started inside of you. He called you for a purpose. He called you for a plan. He called you by design. You are ordained to be where you're at right now in life. And there's more to come. There's a this day for you. You just hang on and watch and be still and see the salvation of the Lord. It may look bad now. It may look wrong now. You may not understand things now. That's okay. Just hang on and keep your eyes forward. God's got a plan unfolding behind the scenes that you can't see. You don't understand, and that's okay. That's why we walk by faith, and that's why we trust in God, period. I trust you, God. I don't have to see the plan. I know you got a plan, and that's all that matters to me, that you got a plan. Moses wasn't afraid. He just stood up there. What, really? I bet Moses thinking, man, I didn't go through 10 plagues, go through Pharaoh 10 times for this to happen. I was happy in my desert home with my wife, you know, keeping the sheep. Everything was cool. I didn't ask for this, God. I get thrown all of this. You really think God's going to let us down now? He called me and he told me, according to Moses, that I'm going to use you to deliver my people and take them to the promised land. Well, God can't lie and God can't fail. So it's time we start trusting God. Just because our day's not came yet doesn't mean our day's not on the way. It's already planned. It's already written. It's already been booked. You can count on it. Take it to the bank. It is coming. There's a day for you, whatever you're battling, that you're going to see this day become your day in your life. And you're going to see that healing, that deliverance, that breakthrough, that saving grace. Whatever it is you're seeking, searching for, it's on the way. Because God cannot fail and God cannot lie. There will be a day. Y'all can clap. That's okay. That's good preaching, y'all. I don't care what you think. That's good preaching. Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I've set before you today life and good, death, and evil. Then verse 19. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. I love Shirley's sign. I probably won't get exactly right again, but I read it several times yesterday over here. Just it kind of goes along with your sign after this message. But it says, one day, say it again. I don't get it right. Yes, one day or day one, you decide. This is what Moses is talking about. You decide. What are you going to do today? It's your day. You make all the decisions in your day. You sow all the seeds in your day. Your day is nobody's fault. If you go to work tomorrow and your boss acts like Mr. Slade on the Flintstones, Dave and Allison, y'all heard of the Flintstones? Okay. The Flintstones. He just gives you a hard time barking and yelling. Oh, my boss, he didn't ruin my day. Nuh-uh. Don't let your boss ruin your day. Don't let nothing ruin your day. This is the day the Lord hath made. We're too bad about letting circumstances sculpt and mold our days, our attitude, rob us of our peace, our joy, our faith, our witness, our light. It's okay. The boss yells. You just keep on. He yells at you, walk away in your breath. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I'm going to kick his honey in. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I hope he don't have no lunch today. This is the day. You know, whatever. But the point is, just sing something and give it back to God and watch what will happen. This is the day that you have an opportunity today, Sunday, August 26th. You've got all these hours this day to do with this day all that you can with what God has given you. You're the seed sower. What you speak, what you think, where you go, what you look at, all of that is in your control. So what are we doing with our days? If our days are focused on the world, that's how our attitude will be. If our day is focused on God, His goodness, His blessings, what we're thankful for, all of a sudden, it's a lot different. Next verse. Joshua 24:15. If it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day. It all starts today. And we can make choices today to say, you know what, God, today I'm giving it all up. Today, Lord, I'm following you. Today, I'm surrendering. Today, I'm going to walk away from this. Today, I can do this. I made a decision 3 weeks ago. Today marks 3 weeks that your pastor has not had any sweet tea. 3 weeks. That's a big deal for me, I'm telling you. Especially with all the places that have good sweet tea. Mi Pueblos, Sorrento's. Oh. And that Sorrento's got that good crushed ice too. Oh my gosh, that ice makes the tea, I'm just going to tell you. I've done research on this, I know. I made a decision 3 weeks ago. I said, you know what? I'm tired of drinking a gallon of sweet tea a day. It's probably not good for me. Not the way we do it in the South. Up where John, George Ann's from, it's healthy. But down here, it's not. And I made a decision. I'm going to make a decision to see if I can stop drinking sweet tea because I don't like how it controls me. It's my cigarette. All right? And I made a decision. And I 3 weeks today, like 20, exactly 22 days, I think, with no sweet tea. I've drunk just water. I've drunk some real juice, like grape juice, stuff like that. But I've you know, not drunk any soft drinks, of course, any sweet tea. Drunk one cup of coffee, no sugar, but one cup of coffee in that time period. I made a decision. You know what? Today I'm going to start. I like the Facebook post Bill shared. I've seen many share it too about the shirt. And it says something like, I was going to start jogging, but then the Bible says, what does it say? That no, the righteous run where nobody's chasing. So I changed my mind. We always make excuses, right? We make excuses about, you know, starting today. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to start smoking today. I'm going to start losing weight today. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to walk away from this. I'm going to lay down the booze. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do all this stuff today. But today sometimes never comes. We keep pushing it out. Today is a day that we have a brand new start. A brand new beginning. If not today, then when? If not today, when, church? We can start. Joshua's telling them, look, make a decision who you want to serve. You got to decide now. You want to serve those false gods or you going to serve the true living God? Make a decision. Today, you got to make that decision. Next verse. 1 Samuel 17:15. This is the story of David and Goliath. David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you had defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. We've got a this day coming to where we will be a David killing our giant. We'll be a Daniel with the mouths of lions shutting. We'll be a Shadrach, Meshach, or Abednego where God stops the fire from burning us. And we'll look back and say, this is the day that God showed up. This is the day God rescued me. You know, my son had a motorcycle accident back in January, and it wasn't his fault. A car pulled out in front of him, and he hit the car at 45 miles an hour, went off the bike, and walked away with nothing, just a couple of scratches, walked away. I would say that was a day of celebration. That if he was in the Bible, that would be a great testimony. This is the day that God saved me from the snares of death. This is the day God saved me from being paralyzed. This is the day God saved me from doing brain damage. This is the day God did this for me. He had a day he can celebrate. He has a day he can look back and say, look what God has done for me. We have those days when we realize if we open our eyes and see them and see the positive things that God is doing. I have a day that my kids all come home safe. I have a day that they, you know, my home does not get robbed. I have a day that my wife or husband comes home from work safe every day. I have a day that God got me from here to there with no problems, no accidents. I've got a day where all my bills are paid. I've got a day where there's food in my kitchen. All of us have those days. But there's going to be a this day for some of you that you've been praying for a long time. Things you've been holding on for that you need to see God move in a supernatural way. Whether it's a physical healing, whether it's a family issue, whether it's addiction or a stronghold that won't let you go. Because I realize that addiction is a powerful thing. And I say this all the time. I understand that we can do a lot with ourselves to try to get the right mindset to break those addictions. But at the same time, for those of us that judge people that can't quit drinking or can't quit doing drugs, then let's quit smoking and let's quit chewing gum and let's quit eating, drinking sweet tea and let's, you know, let grandma give up her coffee. What if Angel came to grandma one night and says, Gladys Minton, yes, oh Lord, you must give up coffee and never, ever, ever drink it or smell it or have it in your home again, ever. You know what grandma will be saying? Get behind me, Satan. That's what she'd be saying. Think about what is it in your life that you think you really couldn't give up and maybe you don't want to give it up, you know? But what is something you really have a problem with that you couldn't give up? There is a day coming that God can give you the power and strength to walk away from that. See, I still believe in breakthrough, and I still believe in spontaneous and instant deliverance. I believe God can break chains in a moment and an instant. I know of folks that when they found Jesus, the old saying goes, they gave up everything. When they found Jesus, they didn't drink no more, didn't smoke no more, didn't curse no more. I mean, they sold out. It's amazing how you can take a smoking, drinking swearer and they get saved and they change. I mean, instantly change. Because what happens is the Holy Spirit comes inside and gives them new desires. Gives them, they don't want to do that no more because God has changed them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It changes us. And there's a this day for this church because I realize in this congregation, not just ours, in all congregations, that there are people that are battling strongholds, that are in dark places, that are battling battles that can't be won with flesh. They can't be won with just a good prayer. They can't be won with good counseling. They've got to be won through breakthrough of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is still alive and well and moving. And there ain't no different Holy Ghost in 2018. I don't care what anybody says. We could try to fabricate a different Holy Ghost. You know, people don't like to use the word Holy Ghost anymore. It sounds too old-timey. But it's in your Bible. I'm just saying. The word Holy Ghost is in your Bible. So if we're going to use that word, we got to use all the words in it. Jesus and Christ and all. I mean, it's in there. But the Holy Ghost isn't new, and it's not changed. I think sometimes we put the Holy Ghost on a back burner thinking that we can change our day apart from the power of the Holy Ghost, and we can't. It takes the Lord to change it. It takes the Lord to step in and intervene on our behalf. And there are burdens that some of you are carrying, and there are struggles you are carrying. Some of you are carrying a load of shame and guilt and remorse for things you have done in the past. And I want to tell you this right now. You cannot change one thing about yesterday. Yesterday was Saturday. It was a beautiful day. But I can't go back to Saturday and undo one thing I did yesterday. I can't go back and reroute my life. I can't go back and take those words back. I can't go back and undo anything I did yesterday. So the devil keeps us bound thinking, you know what? Because of your past, because of what you have done, and that's all that we see in front of us. The Bible says we are a new creation in Christ, that old things have now passed away. I'm not looking in my rearview mirror no more, church. I'm looking in the windshield only going forward. It doesn't matter what happened behind me. It matters about today and what happens right now in my life. And I bind the devil's condemnation spirit that comes against you to keep you bound about all your mistakes. Because I'm going to tell you something. You're going to make a lot more of them. And you're going to live a life paralyzed with failures and mistakes if you don't learn to see that God has a this day for you to break you out. Quit letting all that guilt and shame and junk hold you down. Yes, you were lost before Christ, but now you are found. You were blind, but now you see. That's what counts. Today is what counts, not yesterday. Today. You got a chance to live. Live it to the fullest. Of course, deliver you into my hand. I will strike you. I'll take your head from you. And hear it again. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. David was telling the giant, I ain't playing, boy. You going down today. Let's get this out of the way and let's just fix it. Let's handle it right now, because today I'm taking your head off of your shoulders. And all of you are going to know that today there is a God in Israel. There's some days coming for the people of God that you're going to celebrate. That you're going to have deliverance, that you're going to have a breakthrough, you're going to have a healing that you've been praying for a long time. And it may not come the way you think it should come, but God is just going to take care of it. See, I believe that God can heal you right now in your seats. You're hearing this word. God can heal you wherever you're at. God can, you know, don't have to be a certain ceremony or even an altar call. God can heal you where you sit. God can heal you where you stand. God can heal you at your workplace, going to the break room. God can touch you and break free and speak to you and give you revelations just out of the blue. God can do that, because there's a this day coming for the people of God. You hang on. You hang on, church. It's coming like it did for all of these people. Next scripture. 1 Kings 18:21. This is a story of Mount Carmel where Elijah, one lone prophet, was going against 450 false prophets. And they were building an altar to see, you know, which God would come down and consume the altar. Here's what Elijah said. He came to people and says, how long will you falter between two opinions? That's a whole message right there. Think about that. How long will you balance between two things? Do you believe God part of the time? Or do you believe God all the time? Do you believe God when you're on Sunday mornings and then doubt God on Thursday evening? Do you believe God when he answers one prayer, but then don't believe God when you don't see another one answered? Trusting God is not a part-time deal. Trusting God is full-time. You got to be all in. Even when it looks bad, I trust you. I trust you. Mr. Williams, I was talking to him in the CCU last week, and I know he's tired. And I looked at him and I said, brother, I know you're tired. He teared up. He goes, yeah, it'll all be over one day. Now, we tend to think sometimes that if healing doesn't come the way that we believe, that God didn't move. But we know that God still heals even in the process of death on the earth. That for a person to leave this earth to go be with Jesus, you can't beat that. There is no greater reward than that. And for some people, this will be that day that will be their glorious day. There'll be many today, even while I'm preaching in this hour morning service, there'll be thousands of people that'll pass off this earth. And they will see the face of God. And they will say, this is the day, Lord, you hath made. And I will rejoice and be glad. For I've seen the hand of the Father, and I've seen him face to face. How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Elijah's putting a test to him. Choose right now who you're going to serve. The God of Baal or the God of Abraham? Which God? We don't need to put off things tomorrow that God is calling us to do today. Because when God is speaking, I promise you, he will strengthen you with what you need to get through that day. He will strengthen you. When I made a decision, and I know it's no life-changing thing, I promise, I know it ain't. But when I made a decision, I want to back off the sweet tea for a while. And I even told him, I said, look, I may fail in 3 days, 2 days, I may fail in the next hour, I don't know. Here's my test. School starts tomorrow. That could be my real test, because I get in a routine during school. I drop Ash off at school, and I usually go get my tea, and I come to church. And then I go to lunch, and I get another tea, come back to church. So I'm going to have to do something else tomorrow and not think about it, because it's almost habit, right? Kind of like you smokers. Some of it's just habit. It's just what you do. It's just, this is what I do. Having a cup of tea in my hand is what I do. It's like Donna, Randy's wife. Not this Donna, other Donna. Randy's wife. Her thing's coffee, right? She has that. I see her driving, cup in her hand. Every time I meet her, cup right there. I mean, I think it's like glued. Won't come off. you can start today with something that God is calling you into. And say, Lord, I mark today and I call upon you today to help this day become my day for what you have for me. We cannot continue in the cycles that we are and expect anything to change. There's got to be a change where we say, this is the day I'm going to be different. Next verse. Luke 23:42. This is the thief on the cross, the one that was being crucified beside Jesus. He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. That day became his day. That moment. He wasn't baptized in the River Jordan. There was no altar call. There was no sinner's prayer. There was no confessing after the preacher a certain line. He simply looked at Jesus and says, will you remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom? Oh, yes. Mr. Thief on the cross, what he was really saying, this is your day. This is your day. We can make this our day to where we even look back and say, August 26th was a turning point in my life because I gave it to God and said, this is the day you hath made, Lord, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, and I will go a different direction today through your Spirit. Next scripture. Close out with this. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Now, he's quoting Isaiah 49 right here, re-quoting it. In acceptable time I have heard of you, and the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The door of grace is open now. The door to Jesus is open now. And when God calls us and when God speaks to us, I want to think about it this way. I use the example a lot. If I had a $100 bill and I threw it on the floor, said the first one up here gets it, somebody would come up here and get it. And the rest of it would be out of luck because you missed it. I called all of you. Attention, Living Word congregation. Here's a $100 bill. Come thou and receiveth thou this $100 bill thou. Trying to sound religious. You know, come get it. Some of you wouldn't move because you know you couldn't move that fast. You break a hip trying to get out of a chair. Here's the real deal. There's some of you so backward that if I had a $100 bill for everybody, some of y'all might not come up here. I don't go up here. They will think I'm poor. Or I don't go up here. I don't like how I look today. My hips are too big. Or I ain't going up there because, you know, everybody see me. And you miss out on what God is offering. God is offering today for you to have a brand new day. You can start fresh today with him, calling on his name, having a relationship with him, trusting him, believing in him. The opportunity is now. There is a this day that is coming. I want you to hang on for it because I know it gets old. It gets so old when you see nothing in your life changing. David was a shepherd boy, and then he got the call, and everything changed. Abraham was minding his own business, and God called him to leave, and everything changed. Poor Noah, same thing. This is the day God called him, everything changed. Moses, taking care of sheep in the desert, walks by a bush, everything changed. There's a this day for the people of God that he is going to bring your way. You hang on. And you believe for that this day. Marty, come on up here and play something, if you would, please. I know that as Christians we struggle. Don't anybody say that we don't, because we do. We struggle with fear. We struggle with doubt. We struggle with addiction. You know, people say, we can't be a Christian and have an addiction. Yeah, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because let's really define addiction. Once again, we got to be very careful what we think someone else's problem is. Some of us are addicted to football. If I said you can't watch football all this year, y'all would go psycho on me. I mean psycho. All of us have things in our lives. Some of you are soap operas. You ain't going to miss that soap opera, boy. These are the days of our lives, right? You ain't going to miss it. That was my nap time when I was a kid. Mom, she put me to bed during the days of our lives. I lay in that room, I hear the little halftime part come on, you know, where the little, you know, we'll be right back with the second part of these. And I'd hear that. I knew I was halfway through my nap. Because I never slept. I just laid there for an hour. Mom just wanted to get me out of the way so I wouldn't see all the dirty stuff on the days of our lives. We've all got something that we're bound to. All of us. But some of our problems are more serious. I know that. There's some of us that are in here that are battling with drug addiction, with maybe alcohol addiction, with guilt and shame that's so powerful. Because you were on purpose, that means God has a purpose. You weren't meant to carry all this stuff on your own. The Bible says cast your care upon Him. Cast it on Him because He cares for you. You can't fix yesterday. You can't go back and change one thing. It's over. That cycle has ran its course. But it doesn't mean God can't restore what's been broken. That God can't bring restoration back. It's like an old 1956 Chevy. You know, you got some that are in a junkyard that are an eyesore. They have no beauty about them at all. They're such an eyesore. But someone takes that eyesore of a 57 Chevy and takes that shell out of a junkyard and begins to work on it. And then a few months later, a year later, whenever, they're driving it into a car show and parking it and saying, I took this 56 Chevy from a junkyard and look at it now. It has served its purpose. I can't go back to 1956. That is over. But that 1956 can be restored to where there's beauty in it today for me. You can't go back 3 years ago, 5 years ago, last month. You can't go back there. But God can restore you today and bring beauty and healing back into your life. I want to open the altar this morning. If you want to come be prayed for, walk up here. Let's pray together this morning that God restores you and that this is the day that you will walk out of here different and changed by His presence. You're ready to lay it down this day, right now. Not putting it off no more, not next week, not next time you hear God's voice, but today. God, I hear you today, and I'm ready today to give it up. Let this be your this day. If you want to come up right now. Let's pray together. Let's declare the goodness of God that this will be a turning point in your life today.
I wait.
to me on that, Marjorie. I want to say this. This is our first service to our older kids out here. I want the older kids to always know this altar is open for you as well. You don't have to ask mom and dad, or I guess you don't. I mean, I didn't have to ask my mom and dad. If you want to come to the altar, you just step out of your seat, and you can come to the altar and be prayed for. So I want our children to know that, because I know I was drawn to the altar at 9 years old. I understand feeling the Spirit of God young. I did. And I know our children, our young people can feel His presence. And so I just want all of our kids to know that this altar is not just for the adults, it's for all of you. And your need is important to God as much as the adults' needs are. And if you feel a need to pray, be prayed for. It's always open to all people. And I want you to realize that. Go ahead, Marjorie. Presence here. We thank you, Lord, for the encouraging words we read of other people, of how you move supernaturally upon their lives, how each one had a day, God, where you showed up in a magnificent way. You've got those days still planned for us, Lord. You've not changed because Moses come and gone, David's come and gone, Peter's come and gone. We're here, God. This is a living word for a living people, and that's us. And God, you are still the King of the mountains. You're over all creation. You do not change, Lord. What you did for them, you can do for us. We ask that you move upon our lives. Give us the faith and the hope and the courage to keep moving forward until that day comes for us. In Jesus' name.